So can I just check that that's okay, volume? Great. So just take a bit of time now to talk about the practice, and then we'll kind of go into a practice period together. The first thing is just to say, if anyone feels it would be helpful to have access to translation, we can offer that. So is there anyone who feels that would be helpful for them? I mean, it's going to refer to things from the talk, so I'm not going to add a lot more material, but if you feel like it's getting to a point where it'd be helpful, then you can just say, yeah, I think it would be. Is that okay? So so anyone at any time in the first part of the practice, feel free to head over there. I think two things before we begin, one of which is just to kind of allow for the possibility for something that you may or may not have noticed, which is actually that you have a cultivated heart and mind now. As we were saying about, you know, reality is supposed to seem like reality from its own side, the quality of the observer observing the experience is kind of a difficult thing to notice. You know, if we use like a counterfactual kind of heading in the different direction, a drunk person is one of the worst people to decide how drunk they are. Yeah. It's like they've impaired their perception, they don't know, you know, all of this kind of way. And sometimes when you increase, let's say, like if we had increased the amount of clarity in our perception, then what we might start noticing is all the blemishes, the distortions, the dirt on the lens. And the more you clean a mirror, the more cleaning you see is necessary, right? So if you think, I don't have a more refined perception, I don't have a more delicate or subtle perception, I've just got the same one, that's how you should be seeing things. Reality should appear its own way from its own side. But it doesn't. But it doesn't. We're just going to be reminding ourselves of that. Oh, this is a perception. I can't get down to the raw details of reality, but allowing for a sense of possibility. Oh, maybe I am more sensitive. Maybe that's what's happening here. Yeah? So, in the teachings, there's this word sati. We translate it oftentimes as mindfulness, presence, you know, being with things. We might think of that, you know, as we say, you know, being things just in a bare way, really bare, you know, I'm not interfering, I'm not putting myself onto that thing, I'm just allowing things to be. And I would say that's one way of practicing. I don't think it really defines mindfulness for me. It defines a very beautiful way of practicing at times, and we should do that. The word sati actually means to remember, to remember. And if someone says remember, probably what you will then say to them, remember what? You know, no, just remember. So remember what? I think remember possibility space. Remember this is fabricated. Remember this is only one way in which the perception of reality is revealing reality. There are other ways. There are other ways. There will always be other ways. Yeah? There's not some point where we say, ah, I got down to it, there's the truth. There it is. That's the correct way of perceiving reality, in which it all just lines up and I say, that's true. Subtle perceptions give subtle experiences. Great. That's great. We should encourage that. Generally, head in that direction, yeah? That's kind of the path that we're going towards. What's the subtler way of perceiving this? So taking these practices, taking from what we know, what we know that can happen. If a practice worked for you, you will kind of probably have seen something like this. So we took the anatta strategy of seeing things as not me, not mine. I don't have to know that they're not me, not mine. I'm just holding that view. It's not a truth statement. It's a usefulness statement. Seeing this way, what happens if I don't imagine that this body belongs to me? Yeah. When you take a plate from the indoor kitchen, you know it doesn't belong to you. So you don't leave it on the grass. Whereas if you thought, this belongs to me, I'll just leave it here, I'll wash it up another time. I know it belongs to the community, and I respect it, and I look after it. So sometimes we think, oh, the most beneficial way of regarding this body is it belongs to me. But look at how you treat this. It belongs to nature. You should look after it for all of nature. It belongs to all of us together. Everything. This body belongs to everything. It's made of everything. Yeah. And that sensibility opens, softens, and allows us to see things in a more subtle and sensitive way. Allow things to be appearing in that way. So we understand, oh, different way I conceive, I perceive of this experience. Conceive, yeah, this conception, giving birth to the perception, the appearance, yeah, that we hold, we seize. It means, perception means to seize. I think the Hebrew word means similar, like to hold, right? Everyone know that what the Hebrew word is? Tfisa. Yeah. We hold this appearance in consciousness. And if we hold something, we also know we can let it go. If we understand that we hold it, we can understand that we seize it, we can understand that we can soften with it. Take any of the other practices and they lead towards what we call this holy disinterest. Not a rejection, not a holding on. It feels holy, it feels sacred, it feels subtle, it feels beautiful. And in that way we're supporting the wholesome, we're supporting the beneficial. If it's not already in place, we're bringing it, lifting it into being. If it's here, we're sustaining it, maintaining that quality of attention that feels supportive. And when we notice that we've popped accidentally into one of our habit spaces, the push-pull, the story, the demanding, the contraction, oh, okay, that happens. What are we holding? And what can we release? Yeah. Just seeing that path in that simple, fluid flow of cultivating the beneficial and letting go when that pattern energy pops in, which it will. Okay, it's not going to be so much a question of will my mind wander, will dukkha appear? It's like when and if already. And what should we do? Yeah. What should we do? So all of these practices, when they are presenting themselves fully, they feel good. That feeling of freedom can be known by, it feels good. And, you know, that way of relating to the unpleasant, the contraction, you know, the unpleasant vedana of the dukkha experience, we feel, I'm just escaping into pleasantness. And of course, that's not the goal. The goal is to understand, this is fabricated, and it can be fabricated in a different way. That's the insight that we're looking for. Not, how can I organize the elements of my experience so that I can have, you know, a good time all of the time. But also, why not have a more enjoyable time? It's fabricated, it's conditioned. It's not like I need to get all the money or all the wealth and I'm taking it away from anyone else, but I'm actually just delivering what the Buddha called a pleasant abiding in the here and now. A pleasant abiding. Abiding, an abode is a home. Yeah. Making your pleasant home in the here and now. And what that means in terms of what we're fabricating through the body, through the space, through the thinking, through that movement of intentionality, through what we're bringing attention to, and particularly here with this holy disinterest, how we're guiding attention. So a little bit more kind of practically, how should we do this? What might be a nice way to do this? So one way we could do is we can encourage, a little bit like that anicca view, with a lot of spaciousness. Almost as if we rest back into a sense of the knowing of whatever we're knowing. We're knowing this perception. Yeah? You're kind of like, there's perceptions, and we're often drawn towards them, and what am I going to do about this? And we're actually just taking another step back. Okay, there is a perception. And this perception, in this moment, is of all kinds of anicchas moving. Yeah? These sound vibrations. For a moment appearing, they're an appearance, an impression, an awareness, and they leave no lasting impression, and they're gone. Just this sense, just this wide awareness. If you close your eyes for a moment, just notice the sounds. They pop into, then out of awareness. Almost they pop over the liminal surface into awareness, there for a moment, gone. Rising, then falling back into silence. Their sounds, yeah. Vibrating and back into stillness. When we imagine that, you might be similar to me. I tend to imagine that it's almost like there's like an ocean of the stillness and the silence, and things pop up out of that and they come back down into it. Well, that's kind of a simplification of awareness, right? Awareness is not a two-dimensional thing in which three-dimensional things come into and out of it. Awareness is this three-dimensional thing. And in a three-dimensional thing, we need a fourth dimension now for them to pop in and out of, which sends my mind pretty crazy because I can't think in four-dimensional space. But that's what's happening. They come into and out of experience of awareness. Just allow for that to happen. Not because it makes sense, but because it's a way of looking that supports that holy disinterest. I think it was the first Zen patriarch who said, the great way is not difficult for those who do not pick and choose. Yeah, this preference, I like you, I don't like you, then the great way will be difficult. So the great way is not difficult for those who do not pick and choose. Just these impressions appearing, disappearing in awareness. And we're just going to take that great way kind of view. You might notice it's actually the great way is not difficult for those who can do the very difficult thing of not picking and choosing. So, obviously, the first Zen patriarch was a bit of an optimist. It's not difficult. All you have to do is not pick and choose. But maybe we can do that for a moment or a couple of moments. And maybe, yeah, it might be nice to do that. A second way we could talk about this practice is to recognize that we make from our side the thingness of things. What do we mean by that? So we all know that we're on this retreat together. And yet, anyone seen a retreat around here anywhere? Could you put it in a bag and leave it on my door? No, is it? We've made this thing, and what's it actually made of? Is it made of the parts of the things that it seems to include? You know, that we have this kitchen, we have these managers, we have these teachers, just human beings who do things. It's kind of hard to define where this thing is. And that's part of the preciousness of it. It actually depends on all of the parts participating. Yeah, it depends on us coming and practicing here. Yeah, it depends on the silence. It depends on the sensitivity. But it's not a gathering of those things, or a random gathering of those things, or just any. It's also not separate from those things. This unfindable thing that we know that we're in, we know we're doing it, we perceive it, it's a perception, but it's not actually made of anything. And there's a lovely saying that the Buddha used here. Where is it? And he says about all of these things, you know, they are fabrications. And also, you know, you can look at many things this way. For example, we ask you, you know, maybe at times, like, pay attention to your breath. And you see, oh, yes, there is the breath coming and going. That's not the breath. That's your imagination of the breath. You know, or I think it goes in here and it feels these and it lifts this. I feel like these direct sensations. It's like a cluster of moments that I've put together and put a little definition around. That's the in-breath and that's the out-breath. There's no particular thing called an in-breath. They're all different. Just as there's no such thing as a fish. There's just many different kinds of fish, you know, around. And none of them are fish. Or all of them are fish. Neither of that makes any sense. Breath. Never seen one. Never met one. I really enjoy paying attention to them, yeah? And then we come to this thing we call the self. I've never met one, but they feel really important, yeah? Can't find them, unfindable. Look for it, it's not there. Don't look for it, it's there. Look for it again, it's not there. And so the Buddha adopted this phrase. It's a little complicated, and we'll translate it if we... maybe we'll translate it anyway, if we can. I am not anything. I am not anything belonging to anyone, anywhere. I am not anything. Not a thing, belonging to anyone, anywhere. Nor is there anything belonging to me, in anyone, anywhere. We'll try it again in English, and then we'll see, maybe a translation would be the best way. I am not anything belonging to anyone, anywhere. I'm not the possession of anything, anywhere. And nor is there anything, anywhere, that belongs, that is my possession. And that goes for everything. This breath is not anything anywhere belonging to anyone. And nor is there any breath anywhere belonging to anyone anywhere, including me. And just holding that view, bringing that in, it's a subtle holy disinterest. It's very, very deep holy disinterest. And what we'll see is, what does that do to the perception of reality? And for me, it just helps it to dissolve that little bit more. maybe just the last point to say. Are we going to, do we want to try and translate that? Really, really hard. We have yes and we have no.
Yes, yes.
There is a middle. So it would be more confusing in Hebrew, which is a really interesting position. So, just have a sense, there's nothing here to which anything could belong. And there's nothing there which could be possessed, that could be held to. Many, many reasons why we can see that. Whatever way it makes sense for now. You know, it's like that dukkha definition. It's always a bit deeper and a bit subtler than that, but that's good enough for now, and we'll carry on. Yeah. Does that feel okay? Not yet? So the general feeling is Hebrew is not going to save you here, but we're going to give it a try. Do you want the phrase in front of you?
Maybe you say the phrase in English, like in part, and I'll say it. Yeah, because it's pulling. Yeah.
זה, אני חושבת שככה זה מקום להזמין את ההקשבה שדיברנו עליה לפני כמה ימים בשאלות תשובות. זה ככה לא לנסות יותר מדי עם מאמץ לתפוס את זה בהבנה האינטלקטואלית שלנו. כן? אפילו שזה מילים וזה מה שאנחנו רוצים ורוצות לעשות. אבל לתת לזה להדהד. ולהיות בסדר גם עם זה ש... כי הוא חלק מהאמירה כאן, כן? זה משהו שקשה לתפוס אותו. כן? קשה לתפוס אותו. על זה הבודה מצביע. אז בשביל עצמי אני אקריא קודם את האנגלית ואז את העברית, זה יעזור לי, ונראה מה יצא. אני לא הכנתי תרגום מראש. I am not anything belonging to anyone anywhere. אינני דבר או משהו ששייך למישהו או מישהי, איפשהו. אינני דבר, אינני משהו ששייך למישהי או מישהו, איפשהו. החלק השני. Nor is there anything belonging to me in anyone, anywhere. וכך גם אין דבר ששייך לי במישהו או מישהי איפשהו, במקום אחר. אז בואו ניתן לזה להדהד ונחזיר לנייתן.
So just before we begin, I just want to mention something about the spectrum of appearances and their softening. Yeah. So these practices, these phrases, if they kind of touch us and open us, they're kind of inviting us to an experience of less fabrication. And so I just want to clarify something before anyone feels uncomfortable or concerned. We're playing with our perception of reality, and that's an important part of what we like to know about. Like, reality is reality, and I kind of rely on it quite a lot. But we're only playing with our perception of reality. Reality will be completely unharmed by this meditation practice. Yeah. I think they sometimes say that at the end of a film that had horses in or something. You know, so no reality was harmed in today's practice. We only played with perceptions. And, you know, those perceptions will bounce back. If, though, at any time you feel like reality did get a little knocked or something by this experience, then just remembering the felt sense of the experience. Okay? What we're playing with is softening, lessening, lightening the fabrication. The more fabricated something is, the more dukkha there is. And so we enjoy coming out of those fabrications. Yeah, you can be in this kind of thought storm tornado, you know, that kind of experience, and then you're like, oh, why did I do all of that? And we come back and it's like, oh, it's so much nicer to be peaceful, to be calm. To whatever degree, when meditation is flowing, let's say well for us, there will be even less fabrication than we get to experience in day-to-day life. Those ups and downs, yeah? Important to remember that when we enter a territory that is unfamiliar to us, we get, what's this? You know, and it's sensible for a living entity comes into unfamiliar territory to be alert. But that alertness is starting to refabricate the dukkha. Yeah. And so remembering, oh, this is nice, just remembering, oh yeah, I am actually enjoying this. It's unfamiliar, but it's actually nice to be less fabricated for a period of time. And then we will come back to more fabricated, you know. Just like something that dives under the sea, but ultimately has too much air inside it, so it will float back up again. Yeah, we will unfabricate, and then we will return. And we won't be attached to either side as much as possible. Yeah. So it's unfamiliar, but does it actually feel good? Just trying to remember that. So, ooh, okay, but it's nice. And I'll stay here for a while. Anytime you want, you can come back to, you know, a more everyday perception. Open your eyes, look around. So, anyway, just to kind of say that. But the main thing is enjoy. If something turns up and it's less fabricated, feel free to enjoy it. Yeah. And then also feel free to say, this also doesn't belong to me or to anyone, anywhere. And see how that feels, how that goes. Okay. We'll take questions after. Questions are great, and we'll open to that in time. So let's take 25 minutes or so. Feel free to have a little stretch, and we will explore our experience in this new way. So beginning as before, having a few breaths or opening the awareness sensitively to the experience, or cultivating a bit of metta, whatever's your primary samadhi, samatha practice. Understanding that this experience is fabricated, which means there's a possibility of turning the dial towards a little bit more well-being through the body space, the form, through how we pay attention. What would allow this experience, this fabricated perception, to be a little more subtle, a little more delicate? Sometimes just this allows perceptions to fade. And whatever remains, we can be with, enjoying. We can also allow that to become more subtle, less of a thing, more of a movement. And each time attention, the glom sticks, holds or seizes a thingness, just using your samadhi or metta skills to see it's not a thing, it's a collection, allowing it to become more subtle, more delicate. If, for example, we're having a sense of an in-breath as a thing, we see that's like a line drawn through dots, like a dot-to-dot drawing. Coming down to the level of the dots, each moment, and maybe really in a moment, is there even movement? However subtle attention can go, allowing it to go that far. Maybe it can go a little more. allowing this holy, non-demanding receiving of these impressions and awareness. Support us to not pick or choose. Whatever appears is just this momentary impression and awareness, and then it's gone. Encouraging this awareness to be all around, above and below, appearances appear and disappear. supporting the attention to be as subtle as is possible. Which may or may not feel subtle to you, just as subtle as is possible, moment by moment, what appears. Really allowing for it not to be a part of another thing. Just this impression in this moment and gone. It can happen that at times things get more subtle when the pressure, demands become less. Just remembering when things get subtle, attention has to become more delicate also. Or it might think there's nothing there. We can attend at least to the impression of awareness in awareness. And not pick and choose about that. Whatever we sense, whatever we know, no preference to these impressions and awareness. Nothing that is sensed is belonging to the sensitive sensing. Nothing that is known belongs to the knowing. None of this belongs to me. And I do not belong to it. Not even that. I am not anything belonging to anyone. Anywhere. Nor is there anything belonging to me. In anyone, anywhere. So there's a wide range of possible experiences that can arise from playing with our perception in this way. Maybe starting with, that was annoying, and kind of increasing to, well, that really faded things, and it got scary, or it was really delicious, or however. If you're interested in it, really feel invited, feel free to explore it more. And also remembering there's always any other practice forms that we know about. So it might feel difficult that, there's kind of very clearly a hierarchy on this retreat, there isn't. And we might think, I should be doing this thing, you shouldn't. And what we actually are training ourselves in, what in Zen they call an appropriate response. Yeah, so doing actually what's helpful, what's beneficial, which might be a bit of a stretch, it might be softening and nourishing. And you have to find out for yourself what perception of reality you're having right now and what meets that best. Yeah, so, following what your sense is for things. But at the same time, it's doing all we can to gather the gifts, the richnesses which we're receiving from everyone else here to be here in this way. This is a precious cultivation, and it would be a shame to spend this fine artisan heart-mind that you've developed at this point to start thinking about what I'm going to post on Facebook, next week, whatever it is, The future will be best met by you meeting the present in the most beneficial possible way. Make the most of this. Yeah, really do. And I'm just going to say, explore for yourself how this practice, if you want to be doing it, will journey with you through the movement, through the eating, through the apparent gaps in the practice. And a reminder, keep that balloon inflated if it feels helpful. The end of a meditation is one of the most fabricated of things. They don't exist, from their own side. A bell rings and I meditate. I walk out of the room meditating. I do my walking meditating. So what is a meditation? A cultivation of the beneficial qualities that support the kind of fabrication I feel I wish to bring into life. So, if the right thing right now is that's enough words, I'm going to go and do my practice in my way, in that appropriate response, feel free, feel invited. If you have any questions and inquiries, and as much as possible about how that meets my experience rather than the troubling theoretical stuff, which is only there to invite us into a new way of seeing, then we'll open to those.